That song was sweet, wasn't it? I like that. They always do such a good job. Anybody need God's help today? Yeah. That song that we just listened to is a prayer. Let your love shine down on me and light the way to be. Oh, and these are the words I pray. I need my sweet Lord's help today. I need my sweet Lord's help today. Friends, that's the key to the sweet life. I don't know about you, but I want the sweet life. In the last few weeks, we've been sampling some things from God's Word, things that promise us the best of life. You know, how many of you believe that God can give you a better future? You know, our God, our sweet Lord, is creator, sustainer of the universe. And through his power, he's more than able to give us a sweet life. And I wonder today, how many of you are facing a major decision in your life or something very important that you've got to make a decision about? Come on, let's see hands. Come on. All right. The fact is, we all have decisions, and if you were looking around, you would see that there are people in different seasons of life, a wide variety of ages, and I'm sure if we were to talk to each person, they would tell you they have a lot of different situations, but there are a lot of important decisions that we make in life. If you're not making one right now, you will in the future. It's part of life. Some of you are trying to decide where you're going to go to college. And so you're trying to figure out, you know, what you're going to major in and what you're going to do. Some of you may be close to graduating from college and you still don't know what you're going to do. So you got to figure out what is it you're going to pursue vocationally. Some of you are trying to make a decision possibly about making a career change in your life. Some of you are debating about asking someone out on a date, or maybe you're considering getting married and you're trying to decide if it's the right thing to do. Some of you are already married and you're trying to decide if and when to have children. Some of you have kids and you're trying to figure out if you got the wrong kids, you know. I'm kidding, all right? You will have that season, though. Some of you are debating about what to do with a little extra money. You're going to get that thing you want, or you're going to pay down the credit card. Some of you are trying to figure out when you're going to retire, how you're going to retire, what that means. And so you've got all these decisions, and the fact is we have a lot of important decisions in life. And what I want you to do is to identify that decision, and I want you to think about it this morning as we're kind of talking, all right? We all have important decisions. We make decisions. And our decisions make us. Think about that. Our decisions make us. Our decisions define us. You know, who we are today is the result of decisions we made in the past. And the decisions that we make today, they will have a direct correlation to who we become in the future. And that's why I think this topic that we're going to talk about is so important. The fact is, we got to be careful how we make decisions. I mean, it's just vitally important in our lives. And so today we're going to kind of unpack this. You know, how can we improve our decision-making ability? How can we make great decisions? And then I'm going to press you, how do you make God-honoring decisions in your life? It's a decision that we all have to make. Now, I've got a sweet choice, literally, for you this morning. All right? I've got Smarties, Dum-Dums, and Airheads. Ah, see? I could have went Lemonhead, Warhead, anyway. So, but I got thinking, we've got three sections here. So, again, I'm going to tell you, Smarties, Dum-Dums, Airheads, and I want you to yell out what you want in your section. All right? All right, ready? Go. All right, the center was the loudest. I'll say that. So, all right, pay attention. It's like a parade here. You guys were probably the next loudest. So, do you want to be Dum Dums or Airheads? Airheads. All right. Airheads. Pay attention. And that was a terrible throw. Do you guys want to be Dum Dums? Oh, that's cold. We will not lose today. All right, Dum Dums or Dum Dums? Yes, you're at church this morning. All right, here's the odd question I've got for you today. These are our candies, but which candy describes you? Which one would your friends and your loved ones say best describes you? See, our decisions define us. They define us. The Old Testament, Solomon, he had just been anointed king. And he's taken the throne in Israel. And the tradition in that day was that the new king would be anointed and that the king would bring a sacrifice of one bull. And it was an act of worship to honor God. And so Solomon, he takes the throne. He didn't sacrifice one bull, not two, not three. In fact, scripture would say his offering was so extravagant that he sacrificed over 1,000 animals that day. It was this huge offering to honor God. And what happens next, and I will be honest with you, I've studied the scriptures over and over, and I'm not sure if what happens next is because of the offering that he gave or not. I don't really know. But God that night appeared to Solomon. And he said to Solomon, he said, Solomon, what do you want? I will give you whatever you ask for. You name it, it's yours. Can you imagine that? If God were here today and he was talking to you and God asked you, what do you want? One thing. Whatever you want, it's yours. What would you ask for? Now, if you're like my grandkids would say more wishes. But that's not going to happen, and that doesn't happen in the story. One thing, what would you ask for? I know a lot of people, they would say, well, more money. God, show me the money. Some people would say, I want more power. I want to be famous, God. Some people that are single, never been married, they'd go, I want a spouse. And I want a particular spouse. I want a spouse that's smart, has a great job, kind, sensitive. Some would say, I want a spouse that's a good cook, that's good with kids, and smoking hot, by the way. You know. I mean, whatever. Bottom line, have a very detailed idea about, I want a spouse. Some of you have been married for a while. You'd say, God, the one thing we want is a child. We've wanted a child for so long. Some are battling disease or an illness, or maybe a loved one's battling something. And you would say, if I could have one thing, I'd ask God to heal me. I'd ask God to heal my loved one. But I want you to imagine if God said to you and asked you, says, anything you want, I will give it to you. It's yours. What would you ask for? And here's what Solomon asked for. He says, he's talking to God. He says, now give me wisdom and knowledge so that I can lead these people in the right way. No one could rule this great nation without your help. Anything you want, Solomon. And Solomon says, I want wisdom and I want knowledge. And if you read the whole story, it'd be a good devotion this week for you to read that chapter. But God's heart, I think, was touched that day. Because God says to Solomon, he says, Solomon, since you didn't ask me for money, you didn't ask me for power, you didn't ask me for fame, you didn't ask me to wipe out your enemies, you didn't ask me for a long life, you didn't ask me for any of that stuff. Since you asked me for wisdom and knowledge, they're yours. And I'm going to give you all the other stuff as well. And Solomon would go on and would write more about wisdom than any other writer in Scripture. Solomon would say over and over as you read his words, wisdom is better. Wisdom is sweet. In fact, he would write things like, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And that may not seem like much, but it is quite a statement for a king in that day. Because a king and a nation that had the best weapons, they won the wars. Solomon says, but it's better than that. He says, being wise is better than being strong. Yes, knowledge is more important than strength. He would write, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight than silver. Solomon took the number one commodity in his era. In fact, gold's been the number one commodity for centuries. Gold represented wealth and power, prestige. Everybody wanted the number one commodity. And if they couldn't get that, they wanted the number two commodity, silver. And Solomon says, wisdom, insight, knowledge, more valuable than gold or silver or anything. And here's the sweet part. Solomon writes, he's given advice to his son. He says, my child, eat honey, it's good. And just as honey from the comb is sweet on your tongue, you may be sure that wisdom is good for the soul. Get wisdom, and you have a what? Bright future. Get wisdom, you have a bright future. Now, when I was first in full-time ministry, I started preaching when I was 16, and at 21, I was pastoring a small church, and I was young. I mean, I'll be honest, as I look back on those days, I was a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit intimidated, and it was an older, established congregation, which meant everybody was older than me. Many people had been Christians a lot longer than I had been a Christian. In fact, the vast majority had been Christians longer than I had been alive. And I remember reading the story about Solomon and him asking for wisdom. And it was one of them stories that just spoke to my heart. And I thought, I need God's wisdom. I knew that I needed God's wisdom. And I knew if I was going to get God's wisdom, that I needed God. And so I pursued God. I mean, I spent a lot of time with God, because I realized I couldn't make it without him. I had spent time in prayer talking to God. I spent time in God's word. And I remember talking with my mentor about the daunting task of pastoring and talking to him about what I needed to do to get more wisdom. And he said, well, you need to read more from the wisdom literature in Scripture. You know, Psalms and Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then he said, Proverbs. You need to spend a lot of time in Proverbs. And so I started studying Proverbs a lot. And it's known as the Book of Wisdom. And there are 31 chapters in it. And so I would read one every day. And that by the end of the month, I'd read through it. And I'd go back and I'd reread it. And I read it over and over and over. And I've done that my entire ministry. And early on, it was especially, I found it insightful and valuable and defining. I wanted wisdom. Now here's the catch, and I hope you catch this, especially if you're young today. God's word is full of wisdom for your life. If you were to ask people my age and older, what they would do if they could go back and change some of the decisions that they've made in their life, what you would find, you would hear things very similar to, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I would have done things differently. If I knew then what I know now, I would have done things differently. And so today, if you're making decisions, they are not based on the wisdom of culture, which is foolishness, by the way. But if you make decisions based on the wisdom of the heart of God, it will change your life. I promise you that. It will change your life. If you make decisions based on God's wisdom, what you can do is go from a kind of a humdrum life. You can move from that dum-dum existence to a God-honoring smarty. Someone that begins to impact generations down the road. Why? Because of wisdom. See, you need to pursue God. You need to pursue God's wisdom more than anything else in life. It is one of the keys to the sweet life. You know, some of you are married, and if truth were known, you would say things aren't going very well. Do you know what you need? You need God's wisdom. Some of you are financially spinning out. You've mismanaged your resources. What do you need more than anything? You need God's wisdom in your life. Some of you are trying to figure out what you're going to pursue vocationally in your life, trying to figure out who you might date or who you might marry. Some of you, more than anything else, you need wisdom in your life. Solomon writes, he says, wisdom's supreme. Get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. See, God does not look down on the world, doesn't look down on us today and go, you get wisdom, you get some wisdom, you get it. You don't, you sure don't, you know. That's not how God operates. The sweet thing about it is God says, if you want wisdom, if you pursue wisdom, God says, I'll give it to you. If you pursue wisdom, it's attainable. It's something you can have. It's something you can lock onto. You get to decide, dum-dums or smarties. Wisdom, whatever the cost, it's worth it. It's more valuable than gold and silver and fame and power. Get wisdom. It will transform your life. It will change how you live. Solomon, he was always talking about the difference between foolish people and wise people. And he's always setting up these comparisons. And here's the rub, I think. Foolish people don't know they're being foolish. I mean, let's be honest for a moment with each other. How many of you, looking back, would admit that you've made some dumb, dumb decisions? Come on. If you don't have your hand up right now, you get it up because you've made a dumb, dumb decision. In fact, everyone just say, I was a dumb, dumb. That's hard to say, isn't it? But some of you enjoyed hearing your spouse say it, right? Friends, I think it's real easy when you look back, it becomes kind of clear, doesn't it? And I'll bet when you were making that dumb-dumb decision, you didn't see it. Didn't see it that way. You may have had people whispering in your ear even, saying, what are you thinking? This is not going to play well. And even if people didn't say it, I guarantee you that some of them thought it. Many times when we're being foolish, we don't know it at the time. You know, we're fools. We're dum-dums sometimes. We don't even know it. It happens when we act and react before we think in life. How many of you have ever went shopping and spent money you didn't have? It's Christmas time. We're getting ready for Christmas. Let me caution you on that, because it's real easy to go shopping, go on a spending spree, and you buy all this stuff, and you're not really thinking about it, and then the bills start rolling in, and you go, ooh. I mean, some do this month after month, day after day, and at some point, you just got to come to grips with it and admit, and go, you know what? That was dumb. You know, sometimes we speak without thinking. How many of you have ever hurt someone because you didn't really think about what you were going to say, you know? You just let it fly. Pride. Pride keeps us from taking help. And I think when pride kicks in, I'll be honest, it's when we're the dumbest of dum-dums. Fools, Solomon says. Just curious, does anybody like being called a dum-dum? Anybody like being called a fool? No, we don't. In fact, some of you, every time I'm saying it, it's like electrics going through your body. I can't believe he's saying dum-dum today. But the Bible says that the way we avoid that is we get wisdom. We pursue wisdom with a passion in us. How do we pursue it? Well, again, let me recap what we do when we're foolish. Fools act before they think. Scripture's clear on that. It says wise people always think before they do anything. But foolish people show how stupid they are by what they do. We just kick in. We've done those dumb things. And we're thinking, you know, why did I do that? But we just do it. We don't really think. You know, foolish people spend everything they earn. It's epidemic in our society. Scripture says the wise save for the future, but the foolish spend whatever they get. They spend it. They use it up. And I know the mantra, people go, well, everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's being foolish. Everybody's being foolish. Fools hurt people that they love, that they actually care about. I like the scripture says a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And guys, before you get too excited, it'd be the same with us. You can just put men up there. And I'm going to do a little stereotyping, but the kind of thing you're talking about is, you know, like women will belittle and nag and try and control. Men, we tend to dominate. Displays of anger, intimidate, and so we tear down. The foolish tear down and they hurt the people that they love, and fools think they know it all. They think they know it all. Scripture says the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Again, fools go it alone. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. I'll do what I want to do. But the wise seek godly advice. See, wisdom, better than gold, better than silver. Wisdom, it's supreme. It's sweeter than honey. Wisdom, although it costs you, you need to get it. You need to pursue it. It will change the trajectory of your life. Pursue it over the long haul. And what happens is you begin to experience the sweet life. See, it's making decisions not based on the world's wisdom, not based on pros and cons, so to speak, but it's based on the wisdom of God, the heart of God. And if we want that kind of godly wisdom, I mean, how do we get it? Well, here's the first thing you got to do. You got to fear God. You got to fear God. Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, it's where you find wisdom. It's where it begins. Now, this does not mean that you run around trembling and in fear. Oh, no, God's going to get me. God's going to get me. Oh, no, he's going to strike me. Oh, no, I got to be careful what I'm doing. No, fear of the Lord is reverent fear. It's awe of God. When it comes to most decisions, when I talk to people, they've got fears on a couple levels. People are afraid of rejection. You know, what are people going to think if I make this decision? You know, what's my family going to think? What's my friends going to think? And we're afraid of failure. What if I try this? What if I decide to do this and I don't succeed? Or it falls apart? That's the fears most people deal with, true? What I'm suggesting is you shift your thinking. What will God think if I make this decision? See, fear is about pleasing God. Not because we're afraid God's going to get us, but because we want God's favor in our life. We want God's approval. We want to please God with what we say and what we do and where we go. I see a real problem in our culture today. And I'll be honest, in too many Christians today. Because what happens is people kind of dismiss God. Don't even consider God when it comes to decisions in their life. At the very least, people are casual with God. You know, people go, oh, the big guy in the sky, you know, he's my buddy and everything's cool. And so there's this casual connection, a lot of times no connection. And people will say things like, well, I think God will be okay with this. I mean, it's not a big deal, is it? Friends, it is a big deal. Don't be a dum-dum. God is a holy God. We are in the presence of God. And if we were in the full presence of God, you could not stand in the presence of God. You would fall to your knees. You would hit them so quick and not even be able to look up. You would bow down before him in a heartbeat. Because of his holiness, because of his righteousness, because of his purity and power, you would hit your knees. And I believe when we grasp that, it changes how we make decisions. We would worry less about what people think, and we would just worry about what God thinks. We would take every decision to God and say, God, will this decision honor you? I don't care what the world says. I don't care what everybody else says. Will it honor you? Beginning of wisdom, it's a fear of God. When you fear God, you make better decisions. I guarantee you that. There's not very many things I guarantee you. I guarantee you, if you fear God and you take your decisions to God, you will make better decisions in your life. You will make less mistakes in your life. It is the key to experiencing the sweet life that Jesus Christ promises us. If you want wisdom, you fear God. If you want wisdom, you ask God for it. It's really that simple. There are a lot of things complicated. This is pretty simple. You ask God for it. James writes, he says, do any of you need wisdom? Do we? Yes. Ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone, so he will give you wisdom. If you need wisdom, what are we going to do? We're going to ask God for it. We're going to go directly to him. Don't go to Oprah, Ellen, Dr. Phil, Cosmo, GQ. I don't know where you get your wisdom. But just go to God and say, God, I need your direction. Pray for it, ask for it, beg for it, count on it. Live your day connected with God. Little conversations scattered through your day, just talking to God, seeking God's wisdom. You know, just saying, God, it's a new day. Give me wisdom. You know, God, what should I say to this person? What should I do? What is it you would have me do with this situation? God, lead me. I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I'm listening, and I'm open to your wisdom for my day. You know, as you're reading God's word and spending time in it, even if you're spending 10 minutes a day, as you're reading whatever scripture, just to say, God, what do you want to say to me in this? I'm listening. Pursue wisdom. You're doing that this morning. We're in worship. You're pursuing wisdom. you're allowing God, hopefully, to speak to your heart, to touch your life in some way. It might even be before you even get in here. It might be talking to someone out in the atrium. But that God speaks to you, encourages you, lifts you up. But what happens as you pursue God, as you pursue wisdom, God guides you. God challenges you. And you should know God will break you if he needs to break you. But he will change you and he will give you wisdom, but you have to be pursuing it. Without God, without God's wisdom, you're going to make a lot of dumb decisions. I have figured out in my life that when I'm in tune with God, when I allow God's wisdom to pour into my life, when I let him lead me and guide me and I'm paying attention, God moves. And he does that. He does lead me. And he does guide me. And he changes me. And as it spills in my life, I become a better person. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better manager of my life. I'm a better leader, better pastor. God's wisdom defines me. Defines me. It changes me. Pursue God's wisdom. Ask for it. Don't go the way of the world. And then hang out with wise people. And we talked about this several months ago, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it is vitally important who you hang out with. Scripture says, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. If you want to be wise, you hang out with wise people. Wisdom will spill into your life that way. And the same's true the flip side. You hang out with fools, you hang out with foolish people, and you'll start doing foolish things. If you want to be a dum-dum, hang out with dum-dums. Some of you are hanging out with the wrong crowd. Some of you right now, as I'm talking, are going, okay, Pastor, you know, dial it down a little bit. You know, I know who I'm hanging out with. You know, I know they have different values than me. I know they're going a different direction than me. I know what they're doing. I know it's not right. But I'm good, Pastor. I'm not going to let them change me. Well, friends, that's foolishness. That's dumb. Scripture says, don't be fooled by those who say such a thing. Bad company corrupts good character. It's true. You hang out with foolish people, and it will spill into your life, and you will start making foolish decisions. I guarantee you. It's the way it goes. It's also true if you hang out with wise people, people that fear God, people that love God, people that put God first, that will spill into your life. Early in my life, I looked and I said, you know, God, what is it you want from me? And I really developed what I have come to know as core values for my life. And they were things that I wanted to honor God with. And at the very top of that was I wanted to give my best to God. Love him with my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, everything in me. That was the most important thing. I wanted to be a good husband. I wanted to be a good father, and I would add to that now a good grandfather. And I wanted to honor God with all my relationships. Whether it's a cashier at the store, someone I pass on the street, or people I'm doing my faith walk with. And I wanted to manage my time and my resources in a way that honored God. And what I found as I pursued those things, they began to define me because I made a decision. And they defined me in a significant way, but they also did something I didn't quite plan out. They began to define my relationships. See, what I noticed was I became more intentional about the people that I hung out with, the people that I was spending the greatest amount of time with. You know, I started paying attention to that, got very intentional about it. And I started looking for people that had the same values that I had. And what happened, it helped me. Because it spilled in my life. And as I gravitated toward people with similar values, they encouraged me. They helped me be a better me. They challenged me. And friends, I'll be honest, I could spend the whole morning talking on this topic because it's that important. But if you want a great relationship with God, you got to spend time with other people that want a great relationship with God. You want a great marriage? You spend time with couples that have great marriages. You want to be a great mom and dad? You spend time with people that are good moms and dads. You get the idea here? It's the spill. Choose wisely where you're going to invest your greatest amount of time. See, you get wisdom. You get wisdom, and you can be a smarty. And I like the word smart better. Pursue wisdom. Everything else starts falling in place, and you start experiencing that sweet life, that abundant life. See, you don't pursue money. You don't pursue power. You don't pursue prestige or fame. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they aren't the pursuit. Again, don't be dumb. Pursue God. Pursue a relationship with God. Pursue wisdom above everything else. And as you pursue God's wisdom, God will give it to you. Fear God. That's where it starts. Ask God for it. You ask God for it and you pursue it, He will give it very generously. And you hang out with people that will encourage you with that wisdom as well. See, people that are fearing God also, they're seeking God. We kind of cheer each other along. And here's the deal. You do those three things, you will be amazed. You will be shocked. In fact, you'll be like many of us, overwhelmed what God will do in you, through you. Here's what I know. The wisdom of God is sweet. Sweetest thing I know. Life-changing. Now here's the deal. I want to close service. We do this once in a while. Some of you that raised your hand said, I've got an important decision down the pike. I've got to make a decision in the near future. Not going to ask you to do anything weird. Just if you've got a decision and you want God's wisdom and you want to be very intentional this morning, I want you to stand up where you're at. I'm just going to pray for you. And just, it's a step of faith of just saying, God, I want your wisdom with this decision. Just stand up where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you, all right? Our holy God, God, you see the people that are standing, the families represented. And God, I don't know what the decision is, but you do. And God, I don't know what the answer is, but you do. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just spill wisdom on them, that you would make it so clear what direction, whether to say yes or no, whether to step back or step forward. Whether they need to be working hard or sitting still. God, I pray your wisdom would just, they would know it, they would feel it, and that they'd be inspired by it. God, when you give them that wisdom and they see how things work, how it works out, God, I pray they'd give testimony to you, that they would shout it from the mountaintops, that everyone around them would know that you are the key to that sweet life. That you are the key to living life at its very finest. And even when we're in the battles, even when we're beaten down, that even in the midst of that, we can have that peace and security of knowing that you're in charge and that we're pursuing you. If we're pursuing you, we're going the right direction. God, I pray you'd open our hearts, you'd open our lives to you. You would give us the strength to keep you on our radar, to bring every decision and lay it before your feet. God, we just give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, there'll be prayer teams down front after the worship song. And if you want team to pray with you this morning, just come down. Again, you can tell them what you want to tell them or just say, hey, I need prayer today. But let them pray for you this morning. So let's stand, let's worship God together.